The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Who says rugby league is a dull sport and nothing ever happens?
Well, we know that nothing really happens in rugby league. There's always stuff happening. There's always stuff going on.
Got a new chief executive announced.
Yeah, Leeds have gone for a new coaching setup.
Who saw that one?
I saw nothing of that.
We were linking players with every coaching role going at Leeds. Anyone even carried the sponge was getting linked with the job.
Yeah, I have to admit that, Leeds have completely thrown us off course, haven't they?
Didn't see Kevin Sinfield's name in the hat.
No,
we
actually got a list of about 15 ex-Leeds players who we could link with it.
And we never mentioned Sinny.
We didn't mention Sinny at all. No, he caught us out with that one.
Never mentioned Jimmy Lowe's. I thought his day had gone at Leeds.
Yeah, well, how does that work? Because, Etherington sacked him.
He did.
As coach of the Carnegie.
In the dark side.
On the dark side of rugby.
Yeah.
And then appoints him 2 or 3 weeks later. It's odd, isn't that, isn't it?
How did Sinny do it?
Mm.
Listen, I'll only be director of rugby if we bring back Jimmy.
Does make you wonder, doesn't it? Does make you wonder. I mean, I'm sure at the time when Sinfield was in the England setup, Jimmy Lawes was in the coaching setup, wasn't he?
He was there again, yeah.
So I bet he's put a good word in for him, to be honest.
Me and Jimmy have mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, I know. I've heard about your mutual respect. Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on from that one. York announcing for the first time ever a full-time coach.
It's well earned, isn't it, from James Ford? What a guy. He has turned that club around, hasn't he? He's got them challenging right at the top of League One. The crowds are up. He's done an awful lot of work behind the scenes and deserves all the plaudits as well. I mean, he's also got a gig assisting with the junior England squad, hasn't he?
He has.
So, you know,
full-time coach, though.
I think
saw that one coming with York.
That's a massive move forward for York. That suggests that finally they're starting to make the move. And I tell you what, I've not even put my millions in yet.
Get your pennies out then.
Okay. Do you reckon that £50 will go a long way?
Could do.
Could do.
Might do. What can you buy for £50 in League One?
You'd get Keith Lee Cougars, wouldn't you? Because they had, £37 in the bank.
£37.50 in the bank a few weeks ago. They were hoping for a big increase in support. They only got 500 in the last game.
Yeah, that's a real shame, that. Good game as well against Oldham, by the way.
Sheffield, another club announced, and they got financial worries.
Yeah, that's more to do with the fact that they were quoted one set of figures, and then I've had another set of figures foisted upon them, haven't they?
Now they're thinking, how are we going to pay that?
But yeah, it's all a game of if, buts, maybes and margins, isn't it?
It is. Margins are tight in the lower leagues, but even Super League clubs are struggling financially.
What about Ralph Rimmer? Did you see him getting the big gig?
You know what? Yes, I did.
Oh. Hang on, that spoiled me. That spoiled me setup now.
He's passionate about the sport. I've spoken to Ralph before.
I like the guy.
I like him. He's been there as a player, a coach, director.
Administrator,
managed the stadium. So he knows the sport. I know a lot of people are not happy within the family of rugby league that he's been given the job.
But why are they not happy? I mean,
they're thinking it's the same old, aren't they?
To be honest,
they wanted someone fresh, someone with new ideas. Maybe Ralph Rimmer can be that man.
To be honest, we're not really privy to the people that put in for the job in the first place,
well,
are we?
One of the guys, I've never even heard of him, Damien Irving. Is he?
He was in the NRL at one point.
Was he?
Why haven't we gone for him? Aussies all the rest of the time.
Why have an Australian running our game?
Hang on, we go for Aussies running our clubs.
Ruining the clubs or running and...
Running.
Oh, okay.
Running.
Okay, yes. Let's get that cleared up. Ryan Hall deciding, enough's enough, I'm going to Australia.
He's really the last of the golden generation, isn't he?
Should have went 5 years ago for me.
Yeah, you've got a point there. I know that you don't rate him as highly as I do.
I don't, actually.
You know, because
strike me down.
You was trying to think of a nice way to put it then, but I thought I'd just put you straight on the spot.
Yes, you did. Strike me down. I do apologise. I don't rate Ryan Hall.
I've always liked Ryan Hall. I've always thought, you know, big, bulky winger.
Very fortunate to play in a very good Leeds team, yeah.
Yeah, you could say that.
We know all that.
You could say that about Martin Afaya.
Listen.
Coming across to play, and he's just been nominated for the Widnes Hall of Fame, hasn't he?
If Ryan Hall was playing for, I don't know, Lee,
I'd like him. He'd be my hero.
You'd like him, but would his career be as successful as it is now?
He would have played a lot more in the Championship. I mean, he's had 12 years right at the top, hasn't he?
What I mean is, like, at Leeds, he had the best players around him, put the ball on the plate for him to run onto and score the tries. Didn't really have to work for all of them. If he was at a club where he had to work for them, would he be as good?
I think other clubs may have switched his position.
Second row.
Yeah, I was thinking that, actually. I was thinking, because he's got this build of a second rower, hasn't he? And really tanks onto a ball.
Yeah, so, okay. We get all that. But I think he should have went 5 years ago. Good luck to him. I hope it does work out. But it's unheard of a 30-year-old Englishman testing his toe in the water in Australia, isn't it?
It is, but it's not actually been announced where he's going yet. We're anticipating it'll be an Australian move, aren't we? Because there's been a little bit of talk between some of the clubs, and it wouldn't surprise me
either if that, or he's going Batley.
Or Rugby Union.
You mentioned the dark side twice. Sorry, that's twice. In the space of 10 minutes.
I know. Strike me down.
Welcome to the Fana Hooter. We're talking Rugby League on loverugbyleague.com. Did I say that right then?
You did?
I did, yeah. Loverugbyleague.com. Stop. Thanks very much to Radio General for the equipment as well.
Don't doubt yourself. Let's just go with it. Go with the flow.
Agent Jackson and Dave Parkinson trying to talk Rugby League, aren't we?
Yeah, trying being the operative word.
Okay. Before we move on, I thought we'd have a retro Rugby League here.
I like these. Which year have you picked out for us now?
The only reason I picked this one out, because on the way in, before we recorded this show tonight, I was listening to a local radio station.
Oh, right.
And they were playing AC/DC, Highway to Hell. And I thought, is that the game in general?
Okay. Yeah, it could couldn't it?
But anyway, I got thinking, what year was that released? It was 1979, July 1979. So you can see where I'm going here.
Yeah.
Our retro Rugby League year is going to be the season 1979 to 1980.
I see what you've done there.
See the way you're thinking?
Yeah. It's not just
on the spot, you know. It's proper precision thinking going into this.
I can tell you've put a lot of research into this next segment here.
Guess how old the Rugby League was.
Tell me.
It was celebrating its 85th birthday.
85
years old.
Wow. Okay. So drawing its pension.
Well, more than drawing his pension. In the top division, there were 16 clubs.
Never happen. That'll never work.
Too many games.
Too many clubs.
Finishing top of the pile at the end of the season were the one and only Bradford Northern.
You're going to be telling me that they actually got a trophy for finishing top of the pile?
Champions, yes.
You're kidding. So first there's no playoffs?
Ever. No playoffs.
No playoffs? No. What's gone wrong?
First past the post to champions.
Okay.
Pushed all the way by Widnes the year. They finished 1 point ahead of Widnes that year.
Oh, close run thing then.
Close run thing it was. We did have the playoffs, but it was called the Premiership. So the finishing eight that contended that trophy at the end of the season were Bradford Northern, Widnes, Hull, Salford, Leeds, Lee, Hull Kingston Rovers and St Helens.
I'm liking this year already.
You're liking it because Lee were in the top six.
Yeah, and Salford in the top four.
But you didn't win the Premiership, though.
Oh, that's okay.
Widnes won that. They beat Bradford 9-5 in the final.
Sounds a close run thing, though, that.
It certainly was, yeah. Chance Cup winners were Hull Kingston Rovers. You must remember it. It felt like the entire city of Hull made its way down to London.
Yeah, I believe there was a massive crime spree upon Humberside in that particular day because they knew no one else was in.
95,000 crammed themselves into Wembley to watch Hull Kingston Rovers beat Hull 10-5 in that game.
And little known fact, there was a bar at Hull Kingston Rovers ground called the 10-5 Club.
I wonder if it's still called that.
I wonder
if anyone who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, let us know, Hull KR fans.
Let us know, Hull KR fans. Is there a bar called the 10-5 Bar in the Craven Park Stadium?
Mm.
Lance Todd Trophy winner was Brian Lockwood. An interesting stat about Brian Lockwood. Do you want to hear it?
Hang on, this sounds like you've done some real research ahead of this one.
I have.
I'm amazed. See, we've not been in for a couple of weeks, so you've had your head in the Rugby League books.
Interesting stat regarding Brian Lockwood. He became the first player to win the Chance Cup with three different teams.
Three different teams?
Yeah, he won it with Castleford in 1969-70.
Okay.
He won it with Hull Kingston Rovers in this particular final.
Okay.
And then won it with Widnes in 1983, 84 season.
Yeah, right, okay.
There you go. Interesting stat for you.
I like that one. Have you got any more for me?
No, I haven't. That's the only one I have.
Oh, I was waiting with bated breath to write them down, then I could fit them in a future commentary somewhere.
Other trophy winners in this particular season, the John Play Trophy. I used to like this competition. It's liven things up around January. Do you know what it's like in January? You know, you get Christmas and New Year out the way. It's like, oh, you know, January rubbish.
You've got the January sales,
haven't you? Got the January blues. But hey, if you got to the John Play Trophy final, you had something to look forward to. You'd be a bit upset if you lost the final, like Widnes did to Bradford, 6-0.
To be fair, it hadn't been going that long at this stage, had it? Because it started about mid-70s and went through to 95, 96, I think.
Something like that, wasn't it? It was called something else by that stage.
It was, wasn't it?
The Regal Trophy by that stage. But yeah, Bradford won that one, 6-0.
I wonder whether it were two tries or three penalties.
Don't know, I've not researched that far, to be honest. The BBC Two flooded trophy wins were Hull FC.
Was that still going in that year?
Of course it was. They beat Hull Kingston Rovers 13-3 in this final.
Oh, so they got the runners-up prize, really,
didn't they? In the second division, the champions.
Go on.
Featherstone Rovers.
All right, okay. So Fev on the charge.
So they got that big silver vase. No, it wasn't a vase. It was like a fruit bowl, wasn't it?
I love your description. The fruit bowl. You know, they've won the fruit bowl.
That's what it looked like, a silver fruit bowl.
You've just done about 50 years of history down in about two sentences there, pal.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, a very posh fruit bowl.
I'm liking your description, though.
Yeah, this trophy that you win in the championship now, is it the same trophy or is that a new one? Is it still the original trophy?
You get like a leader's shield. I'm sure you get like a shield instead of the trophy.
Oh, okay. So they've done away with the posh fruit bowl.
I think so. For a wheel trim.
I've seen it through the posh fruit bowl.
Okay. Okay, I'll remember to get that in an email to Ralph Rimmer.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll take us on.
I'm sure Ralph is listening.
Yep.
And if he isn't, I'll pull him to one side during the semi-final doubleheader and let him know.
You've been given accreditation for that, haven't
you? Can't mention that. Stop it.
Sorry.
Featherstone Rovers getting promoted alongside Halifax, Oldham and Barrow.
Hang on, four clubs?
Four clubs relegated.
Yeah.
Four promoted. And guess who got relegated?
Go on.
Wigan.
You're joking.
Wigan were one of the teams that got relegated.
Right, okay.
It's hilarious, that, isn't it?
Not for Wigan, as it wasn't.
It's hilarious.
Listen, you could sit there in your Widnes Towers up in second spot laughing at Wiganers.
Wigan got relegated. Ace.
Unbelievable.
Why can't that happen now?
Because they're good.
Yeah, they are, actually. going down to the second division alongside a mighty Wigan, Huntsley, who dropped the new in this particular season.
Is that because they weren't new anymore?
They weren't new anymore, were they? So they just called Huntsley this year. At York.
See, York did dine at the top table once or twice.
Now and again, they were a bit of a yo-yo club, weren't they, around this era. And Blackpool Borough were still going.
I'm amazed to see Blackpool Borough
in the top division.
In that top division, yeah.
Wow, who's in the team? Wow, we'll have to have a look at that.
We will. We'll have to do more research into that.
They only won five games all season. That's five more than Widnes this year.
Yeah, because, I mean, one look Widnes at the Super
only won
League table.
Three. I don't know. teams no longer around, obviously. We just mentioned Blackpool Borough. Highton, not with us anymore. Bramley, not there. Consigned to the history books.
I suppose as well, you could also claim Oldham as one, couldn't you? Because it's
the change of names. York,
a new club.
As well. York and newish, aren't they?
Anybody in that top division who's not around anymore? Oh, look, Workington were in the championship as well.
Workington were there, yeah.
Finished just above the relegation spots with Whitehaven languishing mid-table second division.
In the second division, it was a 14-team comp, so they played 26 matches.
Never catch on that.
Don't know how that worked. And Doncaster finished bottom and only won one game all season.
Was that the year of their that documentary that you can watch on YouTube?
Was that the 70s?
It was definitely in the 70s, wasn't it?
Top try scorer, Keith Fielding, was still knocking around in this year.
Well, he was still appearing on the superstars, wasn't he?
Yeah. Keith Fielding scored 30 tries, level with Steve Hubbard. That's a great name from the past.
Oh, it is a great name, that. What a guy he was. And look at that, Jeff Munro.
Is he Damien Munro's dad?
He is, yes. Is he? How did you guess that? It spent a long while playing at Oldham.
It was a lucky guess. Top goal scorer was Steve Quinn.
No, he could kick him.
163. Wow.
Tell you what, Steve Hubbard weren't bad at kicking goals either, was he? That,
yeah? No, good player, wasn't he? So there you go. That's the 1979-1980 season.
Do we actually have to move on from that?
Can we just stay with that?
Can we not just talk history instead?
Man of Steel was George Fairburn, by the way.
Oh, really? Playing for Wigan at the time?
He would have been, yes, because he swapped Wigan for Rovers for what was a record fee a year or two later.
So the Man of Steel got relegated?
He did, and then went to Hawkinson Rovers.
How bizarre.
Yeah.
How bizarre is that one? Love it.
I remember George Fairburn.
Yeah.
I went to a game at Hawkinson Rovers. I ended up walking out with a headache.
Is that because he hit you with the ball?
No, not because of him, because I stood, unfortunately, next to these girls. He was screaming, "Go on, George," dead loud.
So you were stood next to his fan club?
Yeah, I must have been stood next to the George Fairburn fan club and actually left the ground with a headache.
Does he realise that he had this fan club?
He must have, because they had all like, "We love George Fairburn" t-shirts.
The Fairburn groupies. Yeah. I like it.
The Fairburn Burnettes, do you want to call them that?
Could do.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The George Fairburn Burnettes, wonder how old they are now.
Stop it. I don't want to think. You're asking me to do difficult
I wonder if they still watch the game. Where is George Fairburn? Never seen him around, ever.
Does he not do something regarding the disciplinary from time to time?
Oh, I don't know, you know.
I think he might do.
Yeah, you sure?
We'll find out.
Anyway, welcome back to the Final Hooter. We're talking Rugby League on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com, the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. I think, you know what, let's step our toes into the Championship and catch up. We've just mentioned Workington being in the big division. They've got big ideas, haven't they, this year? Got Leon Price to coach.
Yeah.
Big money going in to fund their ideas, but rather than talk about Workington, we're going to flip it over and talk about the club that's in crisis off the field, and that's Whitehaven.
Yeah, I mean, Whitehaven have been through hell and back, haven't they, over the course of the season so far. They've had a failed takeover bid, and you just wonder how that has affected the players, but they keep coming up with the results,
getting
don't
the wins,
they?
Aren't they?
And
got a big one against Workington last time round.
And before that, you spoke to Carl Forster. And this was after a defeat of North Wales Crusaders.
Cal Forster in the intense heat of North Wales, you must be happy to come away with the win.
Yeah, definitely, mate. We're just more relieved than anything. You know, we got ourselves into some tricky spots out there, but you know, we come through it. We knew how hard it was going to be today, and yeah, I thought we just probably kept hold the ball more than North Wales, and you know, in this heat, it was always going to tell.
Defensively as well, pretty solid.
Yeah, it's something we're really, really keen on. And yeah, it's obviously defence wins games, and especially in that heat. And I think after 70-odd minutes, our line speed, we were defending in numbers, aggressive. So yeah, real pleasing.
And how are you finding the role?
Yeah, I love it, mate, really do. I wouldn't change it for the world, although it is a real tough gig, and it's been really tough this year off the field. But yeah, we've got a real good bunch of lads that, you know, work hard for each other and just make my job a lot easier.
I suppose with everything happening off the field, all you guys can do is just worry about what's on the field.
Yeah, I think we probably learnt our lesson. You know, we obviously went three back-to-back defeats, you know, a couple of weeks ago when it first all come out, and the distraction was there, and obviously we wasn't playing great rugby, so we're probably feeling a bit sorry for ourselves. But you know, we understand what the situation is now with the club. We can put that behind us. You know, the club will have to go out and do what it needs to do to survive, and you know, we've just got to, you know, keep getting the results, and hopefully win the fans over.
Well, I'm sure by winning Workington, they did win the fans over.
Yeah, special word here for Dan Abram, by the way, who I knew as a six-year-old.
Go on, who's his dad then?
Well, his dad is the former Lee coach, Darren Abram.
He used to play for Rochdale.
Played for Oldham, and was a good player in his own right, actually. But young Dan is really forging a career for himself as a match winner for Whitehaven this year. His goal kicking, impeccable kick, 6 from 6, including one off the touchline just into stoppage time, which helped win that game for them against the nearest and dearest from Workington.
Leon wouldn't have liked that, would he?
I don't think so.
He'd have lost it. I know he would have. But working some big dents in their promotion push.
I mean, strangely enough, both of those sides now within that top five. The rest of the winners from last week were Coventry beating Hemel Stags and coming up with a second win in quick succession. Doncaster putting over 100 points on West Wales. Bradford Bulls continuing their recent run of results with a late showing against Hunslet. Keithley Cougars, who we mentioned, have also been a bit crisis torn, coming up with a big result against Oldham. York City Knights just holding on to defeat London Scholars, and North Wales Crusaders scoring in the last couple of minutes to secure victory at Newcastle.
That's a big win against the Thunder.
Massive win.
Just reminded me there, that game between Whitehaven and North Wales, it was played in unbelievable heat. I mean, when it kicked off the game, it was 32 degrees.
That'd be hotter than the Med, wouldn't it?
The pitch hadn't been watered, because they can't water it at that ground for some reason. They can't afford to, because it's on a water meter.
So was it that yellow and brown stuff?
It was. So it was rock hard, like a dust bowl, the actual pitch. And I sat there thinking, you shouldn't really be playing a full 40 minutes of rugby league in each half in this intense heat.
We were chatting a little bit about this, weren't we, before we went on and recorded this. And one of the things that you were saying is, you thought, well, what about splitting the game up a little bit?
Why not? I think if we're going to persevere with summer rugby league, which we are going to do by the looks of it, I suppose at this time of the year, I mean, all right, the weather's not guaranteed. We've had exceptionally hot weather.
Yeah, best since 1976.
Exactly. It's over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But I think, forgetting all that, I think what we should do, I might suggest this to Ralph again.
All right, okay.
When I suggest,
I can tell you've got a line to him, haven't you?
Maybe bring him back the fruit bowl instead of the wheel trim for the championship winners. How about in the height of the summer? So we're talking June, July, August.
Yeah.
All matches, it's not going to be played at tea time or 8 o'clock. Why don't we have it 2 20-minute halves in each half?
No, that wasn't quite as revolutionary as what you suggested to
No, I said 4 10-minute periods.
Which I think would be excellent, because teams could go hell and leather at each other for 10 minutes at a time.
Have a 5-minute breather, then go again.
Yeah, and especially if we were allowed to get these games televised, or you could sell all the advertising breaks, couldn't you?
You could make an event of it, couldn't you?
And you could make an event of it, yeah. It could be barbecues all round.
I felt during that game between North Wales and Whitehaven, mm-hmm. because of the intense heat, all right, they went hell for leather at the start of the game, everyone's fully fresh and ready to go, but as the heat took its toll on the bodies of the players, fatigue quickly set in, and as a spectator watching it, the standard was awful.
To be fair, we see that in Super League as well, haven't we? You know, we've seen it over the course of the season, and especially over these last few weeks when it has been really, really hot. There's been lots of mistakes coming in, and that's usually when one side has stepped
up. But we're meant to be an entertainment business now. If you're going to be playing in this kind of heat, players are tired, so mistakes are going to happen. The quality is going to dip. Fans are not going to pay money to watch that.
Well, you could argue that they're not paying the money anyway at the
moment. No, maybe not, maybe not. But you know what I'm on about. If you want to produce a top quality sport and get people excited to watch it, maybe that's the way forward.
To look at kickoff times, or even a return to winter.
That's not going to happen, is it?
Maybe it should do for the amateur game.
Maybe for the amateur game, but I can't see it going back to winter for the pros, I'm afraid. Not yet, anyway.
Ooh, not yet.
Might have a word with Ralph. What do you think?
Yeah, you put it on your list. You're getting a right shortlist for him.
I'm putting him under a bit of pressure. He's not even got into the job properly yet.
I know. Does he know what he's letting himself in for?
No, he
doesn't. Has he answered your calls yet?
Not yet, no. No, he hasn't. But I'm sure I'll get a word with him at some point.
I look forward
Maybe
to it.
Maybe at the semi-final doubleheader.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
He'll probably avoid me now in Bolton.
Oh, yeah, it's at Bolton, isn't it? I was thinking, what are you going to be doing going around Bolton and Ralph Rimmer going there?
Not on a night out.
Yeah.
We're going for the rugby. Anyway, talk about the action. League One is hotting up at the top. Bradford leading the way, aren't they? And you've got York breathing all over them, waiting for a slip up.
Yeah. The interesting battle is just below that, though.
Below, isn't it?
Because you've got Oldham, Workington, Whitehaven and Hunslet all locked on 22 points. Then tucked in just behind them are Doncaster and Keighley, both with 20 points. So there's basically, there's nothing to choose between those five, six sides that I mentioned.
And if you think it's tight in League One, wow, you want to see it in the Championship.
Oh, I mean,
oh my gosh.
I mean, since we last broadcast, Toronto have sewn up top spot.
Yeah, they got the wheel trim. Well done.
They got
them.
That, so very well done to them. They're starting
to do with
to
the fruit bowl and look a lot better on the photos.
Starting to put lots and lots of points on teams as well. Toulouse Olympique sitting in second spot, 31 points. Featherstone Rovers with 30 points. London Broncos with 29. Then it's Halifax with 29. Lee Centurions with 28. Basically, these next 2 weeks, somebody's going to get
make
very
or break.
Upset.
Make or break, isn't it? Certainly for Lee.
Well, you could say that for any of the teams that are in that position.
Yeah, but Lee are the ones that are hell-bent on wanting to be in the top four, though, aren't they?
To be fair, you look at Lee's fixtures, they've got Swinton coming up at the weekend.
Okay.
And then Sheffield Eagles in the last week.
Still need results to go in their favour, though, don't they?
Featherstone take on London Broncos this weekend, which will be one heck of a clash.
Certainly will.
Halifax take on Toulouse this weekend.
Two big games there, isn't there?
And then next weekend, you've got Featherstone travelling over to Toronto, who won't be wanting to give up their home form.
No, not at all.
Oh, it's going right down to the wire,
isn't
it?
That is tasty, tasty, very, very tasty.
It's very tasty.
He's going to be there, though. Go on, put your expertise on the line.
Okay. Okay.
Who's going to be the top four? Now, we know Toulouse are there, we know Toronto are there. Who's going to be the other two?
Well, Toulouse aren't actually guaranteed yet.
Are they? I thought
no,
they
no. They've got 31 points. Right. Where if Lee win both their games, they can get 32 points.
Oh, right, okay. Right, go on then.
Right, well, Toronto, we know are there.
Yeah, go on, who's the other three?
The other three, I'm going to go Toulouse. I can't see them slipping up twice. I think that they'll sew it up this weekend.
Right.
I'm going to go London Broncos.
Oh,
and I'm going to go Lee Centurions. So that'll mean Featherstone and Halifax both just miss out.
Big call.
It is a big call. I hope I'm right.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So I feel really...
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It is the Final Hooter. We're talking Rugby League on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson. I'm trying to make sense of what is a great sport.
I like the way you put that, trying to make sense of it. People's been trying to make sense of Rugby League for a lot longer than we have, to be fair.
They have, yeah. Anyway, we mentioned the race for the top four in the Championship. One or two significant results making it interesting.
Very much so.
Certainly last round, anyway.
Yeah, last round there were wins for Toulouse at Barrow, for London Broncos at home to Halifax, which could have real repercussions. Lee defeated Rochdale. Sheffield defeated Dewsbury. Featherstone went on a rampage at Swinton, and Toronto put another 60 points on the board against Batley Bulldogs.
So another big win, big win, another big win for Toronto. Is what I tried to say.
Yeah, it was. They're certainly starting to put the points on teams, aren't they, at home?
Yeah, can they do it in the eights, though?
That's the big question, isn't it? Has Paul Rowley learned anything from his time with Lee a couple of years ago?
I suppose the advantage for them...
They've got some class players.
They've got some class players. That's an advantage.
That is an advantage.
But the other advantage is, as well, is that they will be playing some of those Super 8 games at home.
Yeah, they've got to.
Listen, Super League clubs don't like going down to London for a game. They don't like going to Catalans for a game. So they're not going to be happy having to go to Toronto.
Especially if they're only going on a Thursday, like a lot of the Championship boys have been doing.
On a Thursday, come back on a Sunday.
Yeah, or Monday. Coming back on the Monday.
And then they might have a game on a Thursday.
Back it up again.
Nah, well, yeah. You can hear Franny Cummins and Ian Watson and everybody else moaning about that.
Definitely can't you?
Mm. I don't know who the other two teams are going to be alongside... Widnes and Salford, but Widnes and Salford guaranteed to be in the eights. Can Leeds stay there?
You know,
are they going to get out of it? Are Huddersfield going to slip into it? Are Wakefield vulnerable? Are Hull Kingston Rovers going to get the wins on the board to get themselves out the mess?
You asked me to put my neck on the block for the Championship. I'm going to do exactly the same for Super League now.
I thought you were going to ask me to do that.
Oh.
No, you do it.
Yeah, so you want me to take the rap?
I'm going to sit on the fence. You do it.
Okay. Well, I think that we won't see a change. I think that Leeds and Hull Kingston Rovers will both be in this middle eights.
Well, Hull Kingston Rovers gave themselves a fighting chance. Oh, sorry, a fighting chance. Don't know what happened then. Hawkinson Rovers give themselves a fighting chance, it's got to be said, by coming up with a hard-fought victory against Widnes in the last round.
Mm.
And for some reason, something else there you keeps go. Coming up.
It might help, though.
Listen, it's recorded live, this show, so if you listen to it on realmrovery.com,
There'll be no mistakes.
Should we do that one again?
Let's go again.
Hawkinson Rovers gave themselves a fighting chance by trying to get themselves out of the bottom four with a hard-fought victory against Widnes. They were cruising at one stage at 14 points to 2, but Widnes battled their way back into it, but ended up with another battling defeat.
Yeah, it's been a common place, hasn't it, for Widnes over recent weeks, that one. But it's nice to see Hull Kingston Rovers starting to threaten a little bit. And they've given themselves a bit of a fighting chance of getting away from that situation.
But you don't think they will.
But I don't think they will.
I caught up with fellow Widnesian, playing for Hawkinson Rovers, that's Chris Atkin.
You know, we did it tough in the end. I think we probably could have won by a few more points, but could have quite easily been on the other end of a 2-point loss. So some things go your way, and at the time when we're winning games, I think they tend to go your way a little bit more.
Witness proves to be a stubborn opposition to
them. Yeah, I think they're, you know, really good side. I think everyone in Super League, I think they're unfortunate to be where they are. And I don't think people need to write them off going into that mid late, because, you know, teams are playing Championship week in, week out, and they're playing a high standard. I know they pushed Hull FC the week before, and actually pushed us again today, so they are a good side.
You mentioned the mid late, so the win today keeps you alive to avoid those mid late.
Yeah, obviously we've got sort of one eye looking on those mid late mid-eights, but we're also thinking, you know, maybe there's a small chance of getting that top eight. So, but we want to just make sure we're winning games going into whichever eights we're in, and, you know, that's the format that we've got to deal with this year. And we'll go into it well prepared, whichever competition it is.
Yourself personally, how are you finding life in Super League?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's not been plain sailing. I know it's, you know, I found it tough with, you know, the step up in training day to day. But yeah, like I said, really enjoyed it. I've moved over to Hull now, so I'm travelling back and to Widnes every now and again. But yeah, just absolutely loving, you know, being a full time player, and, you know, to give me opportunity and to play in Super League.
And obviously learning from like Danny Maguire as well.
Yeah, that's, you know, for any young halfback, he's, you know, like Danny Maguire, Sean Blunt, Nick Screw and Tommy Lee, those players have, you know, you watch them week in, week out. You know, I did myself, you know, for the last few years, and now to play alongside them, it's a real, you know, real honour to wear the shirt with them and just to learn from them day to day.
There you have it. Chris Atkins slowly adapting to Super League and getting better as the season continues.
Doing really well. And, you know, fair play to him, because I think he was cut by Widnes as a youngster, wasn't he? So, yes. Or was overlooked by the Vikings.
Yeah, he looked at Swinton and Hawkinson Rovers snapped him up.
Yeah, great to hear of a success story when he's had to go backwards in his career to move forwards.
Okay, a win for Hawkinson Rovers. Who won the other games or drawn the other games?
Huddersfield beat Wigan. That's a massive result.
Yeah.
St Helens defeated Hull. Castleford defeated Salford, and we had two battling draws between Leeds and Wakefield, and Warrington and Catalans.
That draw for Leeds gives them a fighting chance, doesn't it?
It does, but I still don't think they'll make it.
And guess who scored again?
Go on, who scored?
Josh Charnley.
He can't stop scoring.
He can't stop scoring for the Primrose and Blue.
Could have been two as well.
Let's hear from the man. Josh Charnley, which way do you see this? Is that a point lost or a point gained?
No, we did start really well. We've worked hard all week, and I think we're just shied away from what we did in the week, you know. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but, you know, it's good to have a point.
Well, it's good to get a point, but was that a frustrating performance overall, though?
It was like, it's one of those, isn't it? You can take it how it comes, you know. We tried hard, and, you know, Catalan are a good team. They've got some lethal players, and, you know, it showed that they, when they get the opportunity, they can score. So, yeah, it's just one of those games where it was tight and we just had to try and get the edge, but, you know, they stick with us.
It still means, though, you stay within the top four despite only drawing the game today.
Yeah, you know, we're aiming for that top four finish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's in our sight. So, if the results go the way we want them this week, you know, we should be all right. So, yeah, we're pushing, we're working hard each week to, you know, to get better.
All in all, what was the pleasing aspect of the performance?
That we stayed in there, we showed a lot of energy, you know. So it's one of those where we could take that from the game. There's no knocks, you know, everyone's all right. So, you know, we'll just go on to next week.
And you keep continuing to score for the Primrose and Blue?
Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying my time here. It's a good club. I've been well looked after. So, yeah, it's just me doing and giving a little bit back to them.
Did you think you snatched it at the end then?
I'm 100% certain I had hold of the ball. Just one of those where, you know, it might have looked like a knock on when I pulled it back, but I'd like to have a good look at it and see it, but it's one of those, you know.
12 games in since you made the switch back to rugby league, have you found it?
Really good. You know, it's a lot of people have said to me I'll struggle coming back, but, you know, I've not struggled, I've just seen it as a positive. So, yeah, I'm happy, like I say, I'm happy being here, I'm happy, you know, doing well for this team, you know, and like I say, it's a good club, I'm well looked after, so I'm trying to do my bits, you know, to make it a little bit easy for the lads.
And for the club overall, some big games coming up. You've got the top four to aim for and also the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Yeah, you know, it's not looking too bad for the club. Yeah. You know, we just need to, you know, take each week as it comes, tick them off and, you know, if we get the opportunity, you know, to push and keep fighting, you know, we will. We've got a good team here, you know, a good set of lads, good coaching staff, you know, backroom staff's class. So, yeah, we're looking good. We just need to, you know, start doing well on the field and getting these points.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.